Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Oh, excuse me, not good morning. Good evening to everyone out there in the radio world. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And of course, you want the intro. I know you guys want that intro, so here we go.
Expect the unexpected, seeing before you know it. His covenant's not in vain once the promises start showing. So put your faith in motion, praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children, ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention, expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And it's another wonderful, wonderful Sunday. So we have some good things planned for you guys.
Yeah, we definitely do. And, you know, before we even get started, man, we have to give a great big, all caps, happy birthday to our show director, the founder of the D-Hour Show Network, the one who brought Lamont and I on to the Covenant Cafe, Mr. Derek B. Slate Slayton. Where's my crowd? Give him a round of applause.
You know what? Happy birthday, man. We, you know, we really appreciate it. And the everybody really appreciates it.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know how to keep you there.
Definitely appreciate you, man. Happy birthday, and have you plenty more.
Yeah, D, he's a really great guy, man. I remember when he first spoke to me, asking me to come on to the show, man. And he was just so excited, and he's like, the whole thing is to, you know, on this network, he wanted to get the word of God out, and that touched me right there. Like, wow, like to have. I feel that God's filled him up with so much wisdom for each day. You know, he has the show on all the different shows. I Have Something to Say, the Celebrity Day. Like, and he has had some amazing celebrity and artists and independent artists and people in general to come on the show from you know, Music Soul Child to Shirley Murdaugh to just, man, like crazy, crazy, crazy dope. And this is the network that I thank God that I'm a part of. And just, it's amazing to me, you know. So definitely happy birthday to D. You know, we appreciate you, D Slate, man. And you're doing some great things and some awesome things to come from our conversation earlier. And, you know, it's a blessing, man. And I thank God for you, D.
Definitely that. Definitely. Now, before we get really, really started into the game here, let's start off with a word.
All right. So our word today, it actually is funny. You know, my pastor touched a little bit today in church. He was talking about how it's time to get off your knees and start putting actions behind your prayer. You know, that was the gist of everything about how, you know, so often we pray to God, pray, God, you know, please give me a husband, please give me a wife, please give me a job, please give me this and that, pray. But there's nothing following behind that. Mm-hmm. Now, the way he took it, you know, it was just amazing. But the scripture the Lord has given me today that we're going to really touch on is this. It comes from James 2:17. We'll start at 2:17. We'll keep it at 2:17. It says, thus also, faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. And I want y'all to go to 24, which it says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not faith only. And jump to 26, which says, for the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is also dead. Now, mind you, in all these times, it said consistently about how it's like addition, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. So pray, that's one part of it. So faith, you know, prayer. So faith, then plus the work part.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your success aligns. So the whole point where I'm getting at is that it's time, really, people, for us to rise up. Like, we always have visions, but we never put them into provision. What I'm saying is that, yeah, it's cool to have a dream. Yeah, I want to get this job. I'm gonna start my own business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, et cetera, et cetera. But now the question is, what are you doing to make it happen?
Mm.
Okay, yeah, you want to have start a business. Now, true enough, and I'm not even knocking, like, say you don't have the education to start a business. That's not even your problem. That's not the problem. But you're not trying to find ways to get the business started. So, okay, you want to start a business. Now, my next question is, well, have you researched what you need to do? Have you considered, have you got your logo, copyrights? What do you need to apply for? Is it a nonprofit? Is it a profit? Like, you have to really put your vision into motion. You can't just talk it and then turn around when we ask you a week later, oh, what's up, bro? How's your business going? Man, the man holding me back. Or, man, it's just all this stuff going on, I can't even do it. Like, I'm personally tired of hearing those excuses, and I can only imagine the people that's around those excuses on a daily basis, how they feel. So from here on out, let's keep in mind that faith without works is dead. So we have to do more than just talk about it. We have to do more than just think about it. We have to do more than just dream about it. We got to start putting work behind it. You know, whether it be, you know, you got a vision of starting a business one day so you can go back to school. Cool. And then from there, then what you want to do, you got to connect with different people. Then you have to start doing the research, and you're going to have to apply for this. You're going to have to start doing things. Even so, even if this guy gave me a vision that I'm going to have a building one day. Okay, well, he gave you the vision. Let's put some work behind it. Let's start looking for buildings. Let's start actually putting our faith into motion to where we are reaching out to people. Hey, I'm considering this vision. I'm going to do this, that, and the third. Can you point me in the direction of a building that can have a capacity of X amount of people? Or I desire this amount of floors, and this is going to be an office for this. Can you show me the direction? You know, let's start doing something towards it. And what I've learned in life, you know, mind you, I'm speaking like I'm old, but I'm only 25, but what I've learned thus far in life is that once you start doing something, so many doors opened up. So, example, God gave me the vision of being an artist. When I started putting the provision behind it, when I moved into provision, I started reaching out to different producers. Different producers started pointing me in the direction of different studios. Different studios started pointing me in the direction of sponsors, graphic designers. All these people started falling in line. From the graphic designers, people started pointing me into the direction of DJs to get my music on the radio. They started putting me in the direction of putting my name to DJs, started introducing me to labels. You know, all these things started happening. And mind you, like I said earlier, I didn't find D-Slate. I didn't find the Covenant Cafe. I didn't find the Hour Network, the Hour Show Network. I didn't find it. It found me. And it found me because in the midst of me doing something, doing this stuff as an artist, one guy who was a fan who has love for me, he heard about everything going on, he reached out to me and connected me to D and told D about me. So all this stuff happened through my provision of what happens as an artist. So, and then, you know, as y'all know, some of you know, the different accolades that started coming upon me and the different success and then all the different little things that happened in my life, it came to me. I didn't even have to seek it out. There's so many things I did not know I was capable of, and I didn't know it was going to come to me, but it happened in the midst of me working towards the vision. having faith and putting work behind it. So throughout this week, throughout the rest of your life, and now, I encourage that you start putting works behind your faith. I encourage that you do more than be a talker. And also, and now mind you, this is the other half of it. I don't want y'all to be working and not have faith in what you're doing. Do stuff that you know God has poured in you and that you have faith that you know this is what's up, because at the same time, works without faith is also dead. Because I've seen people go after jobs, going hard body, resumes, all this stuff, going hard to get a job, but they never believe they can get it and they never got the job. Because they didn't even believe in the product. And them themselves, like, simple, like you're trying to get a job. But if you don't believe in yourself as the product that you're trying to sell, who else will believe in you? So you're putting out resumes and you're doing all this stuff, but you don't think nobody's going to get you. So you don't dress the part. You don't get the haircuts. You don't do the lineup. You don't, whatever it is that it takes for you to get the job or get your hair done, whatever it may be, nails, whatever it is. You're not doing that because you don't have faith in you, but you're doing the resumes, then your work is dead. Your faith is dead. Your work is dead. It needs, in order for that success to happen, like I said, it's a 1+1 thing. Faith plus works equals the success. That's the life that we have to strive for. We have to put faith and works together. Don't put works without the faith. So I definitely had to clear that up, because you can do a whole bunch of work, but if you don't have faith in what you're doing, you will not seek success. And at the same time, you have faith, but if you don't put works behind it, you will not see success, because you're not putting nothing in the motions. So we have to put all this together to really accomplish these goals that God poured in us. And mind you, I keep saying that God poured in us, because I'm not encouraging you guys to do your own thing. I'm not encouraging you to do something that, oh, yeah, I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. I just know I'm supposed to do this. What, did you pray about it? Did you talk to it? Do you have anybody that's holding you accountable about this? Have you even spoke to your mom, your dad, or somebody? Did you share this vision with somebody to confirm that this is something that is realistic? Because some things aren't realistic. Like, example, you know, I want to be a, let's see, I want to start a Blockbuster business, right? I want to start a Blockbuster business. But let's just say Blockbuster, as y'all know it, they have desized tremendously. They are darn near out of business completely. So I want to start my own Blockbuster and this and that. And I got to share this. Now, if I don't share that with anybody, I spend a whole bunch of money on getting a building, trying to buy the name, getting the copyrights and getting the videos and this and that. And I go through all of that just to lose my money, because you got Netflix that's kicking them out. You got TV, period, cable, DirecTV, Emerce, AT&T Emerce. You got all this stuff. So the issue now is that I didn't ask anybody, because mind you, I prayed, but I didn't really seek confirmation. I didn't look for accountability, because if I was to talk to you online or talk to any of you guys, like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a Blockbuster business, one of you guys would have said, bro, you know Netflix has put them out of business? Are you serious? Like, maybe let's go in a different direction with this. So now this takes us into receiving constructive criticism, because I'm so sick of hearing everybody hating on me. Everybody's just hating on me, man. That's why I don't tell my dreams nobody, because they're just going to hate. True, people do hate. But then you got to understand that sometimes criticism is not hate, it's love. I want somebody to tell me, Lace, bro, you know what, you're really good, but this song is not up to par. Either go harder or delete it, period. But don't you release that. We need that kind of stuff in our life, because if I didn't have that in the first place, I put out some garbage. It would be no Poetic Lace right now. I wouldn't be on a Covenant Cafe, but I would be probably chilling. I'd be taking a nap after church right now, trying to get ready to wake up and, you know, plot the next one for the week. Something stupid like that. If I didn't have accountability, people that I have in my life that I can accept criticism from. So, you know, all this ties together with vision, provision, having people that can hold you accountable, people that can build you up, people that can show you the direction to go, and people who will challenge you. We need to be challenged, because, like I said, if I was to come up with that Blockbuster idea, that would have been a dumb idea. That would have been the dumbest thing, and I wasted all that money, and then I have a whole bunch of other problems, and then I'd be mad at God. God, why you didn't help me, or why you didn't come through? Like, you know, I'm trying to do all this for you. Well, God is saying, I understand that you're doing this for me, but I put people in your life to stop you from making that dumb decision. But you wouldn't allow them to stop you. See, a lot of people like to put it on God, not realizing that God didn't make us to be alone. You see, even in Genesis, he looked down on man and he saw that it wasn't right for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. So with that being said, God is not just coming out of heaven and he's not just getting down here and all of a sudden stopping us or picking us up or making everything pop off. God has given us free will, and he's not taking that free will from us. With that being said, we have a decision, and we have choices to make. And we have to understand that God has put people in our lives to guide us, to help us, to be with us. We should not have the mindset of, oh, I was born alive, I'm going to die. I was born alone, I'm going to die alone. That's just how it is. No, that's not true at all. Yes, you came into this earth as a single vessel, and you will be going out this earth as a single vessel, but you came out of your mother's womb. So you even need to help getting here. Your dad and your mom had to come together to put you there. So that means you need help to be sustained here as well. Friends, family, enemies, all that stuff is necessary in the growth of your life because the enemy basically shows you who you are too. It shows you your character flaws. So all this stuff is necessary for success, communication, accountability, being able to be challenged, to challenge others. God, a better relationship with God, pushing faith and works. So from that one scripture, I mean, we see the recipe for success, and it's very crucial that we start digging deeper instead of the surface. You know, I prayed about it, you know, we're just going to see what's happening. Well, no, we pray about it, and we're going to do the best that we can and allow God to do the rest. But we have to do our part. So that's what we are. Our faith without works is dead. Y'all hold on to that and watch success bloom from this equation.
And there it is. There it is. You know, there's nothing else for me to say right there.
Yeah.
So, actually, there is something that I can say. Check this out. We're going to go into Stay Positive. Mike Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we're going to do it like this. Stay positive here on the Covenant Cafe.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together on this one like this. We just want you to keep smiling out there. Keep a happy face. Stay positive in the midst of your tests and your trials. Let's take it, y'all. You need some direction. You need to know where to go. Come on.
Direction.
Uh-huh.
Wanna know where to go.
Well, what's the next part? Just when you. Come on.
Just when you feel alone.
Just when you feel like giving up. Just when you feel like thrown in the towel. God's presence. You ain't on your own. Come on, stay positive.
Stay positive.
Yeah. Ready to answer.
Waiting to answer your call.
So turn.
Turn your frown into a smile.
Know what, y'all? After a while.
After a while.
It's gonna be all over.
It will be all right.
Just keep a smile and stay positive.
Stay positive.
Let's take it to the drive, y'all. Come on. Be strong.
Don't groan, don't
groan, and stay
There it is.
Mm. That song, it's dope, bro. It stayed dope, too.
That song is so dope that the drug dealers want a piece of that.
Have you seen the music video for it yet?
No. No.
You got to check it out, though. You got to.
Is it like that?
It's realistic. I like. It's not like a music video. It's actually a live performance. But
okay.
You know, no, Mike. You know, we had Mike on the show. Mike, he is so like how his interview was. It's like his personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's alive. He has a good time. You can tell he just loves what he do, and he means every single word he's saying. So definitely, y'all check the video out if y'all haven't seen it yet.
Man, that dude. I love that song, man. Love the song. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, also we might get into our world news. What's going on
okay.
in the world? What is
so,
going on?
Y'all cannot be mad at me yet. I am totally not ready. I'm not ready. But I have some news, but I'm not ready yet. So
right.
Can you give me a second? And I
yeah,
got some
you
good
know what?
News.
It's okay because Deacon, he just texted me. And said he was outside about to come in. And I was telling him, I was like, come on in. And he was like, mind my business. He was like, yo, mind your business. And I was like, D, you can come in now. And he just started snapping on me. I was like, what is going on with you, D? Oh, boy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Here he comes. What is going on there, Poetic?
What's going on, D?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. Hey there, Naughty Head Boy. D, why you gotta talk about me? Shut up there. Just mind your business. Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today for my presentation of useless facts. Some of the useless facts I'm going to talk about is pretty interesting. Just like that boy Lamont, he is a useless fact right now. D, shut up, boy. I mean, mind your business. Yes, God is good and God is great. Let us thank you for our food. I'm sorry.
Are you at Golden Corral again? Did you go to Golden Corral yet?
I went to Golden Corral today, and I met this young man. I'm going to tell you a short story. The young man, he was in trouble. He couldn't reach the cabbages that the Golden Corral there, and I helped him out. And I told him, God sent me here so I can help you out with those cabbages. Because if I wasn't there, he wouldn't be able to get those cabbages. Yes, yes, amen.
Okay.
Amen. Let's get into our useless facts. Did you know to escape the grip of a crocodile's jaws, push your thumbs into its eyeballs? It will instantly let you go.
Hmm.
I just want to know how many people lost their fingers until they found that out.
Hmm.
I'm curious who's trying that right now.
Hmm.
Another thing here, stewardess is the longest word that is typed with only the left hand. And your stomach has to produce a new layer of mucus every 2 weeks. Otherwise, it will digest itself.
Wow.
Yes, yes. God is good. He makes a way out of everything. 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 When I mean everything. Everything. Barbies, you know, the doll. The Barbie
mm-hmm.
doll.
Mm-hmm.
The Barbie doll full name is Barbara Millicent Roberts. Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely. One more. Pound for pound, hamburgers cost more than new cars. Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, pound for pound. And I would like to say thank you for letting me share my useless facts. And I have to get back over there to that dessert bar because God is good and he's going to hook me up with some of that ice cream that comes out real slow out of the machine now. You ever seen how the ice cream come out of the machine now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out nice and slow. So I'm going to give me some of those and some little sprinkles and just put it on top of a little cherry and enjoy my food there. You have a good day, okay? All right. God bless.
God bless you too, Deke.
Hey, Deke, what? Shut up. Okay. All right. Wow. Deke is crazy.
He is.
I'm trying to figure out how did he figure that God sent him to help that boy with the cat.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say amen. I was like, okay. Like, I'm sure somebody that will. But you know what? I don't know. I'm done.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's the simple things in life that looks out for us. I guess that was the moral to the story.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I just thought about he did stop. Like, it was, I don't know. All right, well, guess we can get into world news.
Okay, it's okay. I'll let you get time there to prep, but I do have some weird news for you guys.
Did I say weird news or did I say world news?
No, I said weird news.
Okay.
I got your back, homie. I got your back.
Oh, I mean, we can get it popping. We can get it popping.
Let me tell you something. I got some interesting facts here, weird news facts. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into those. The weird news. Kevin Wilson allegedly crashed his car into church after getting angry with the pastor. Henderson, Nevada. A Las Vegas man is behind bars after police say he became so enraged at being turned away from speaking with the pastor that he plowed his car through an entrance and down the hall of a large Henderson church. Before I go on, this church is huge then. I mean, he drove a car down the hall?
Yeah, seriously.
He drove a car down the hall. Okay, let's go on. Kevin Wilson was being held Thursday on $8,000 bail money, at the Henderson jail, the city jail, and he's pending a court appearance on Monday for felony burglary and destruction of property charges, you think? Henderson's police say the 51-year-old Wilson got out of his Kia Spectra, okay, that explains that, smashed furniture and knocked holes in the walls at Central Christian Church before police arrested him about 5 a.m. Wednesday. Police spokesman Keith Paul says a city building inspector later determined the church building remained structurally sound and it wasn't immediately clear if Wilson had an attorney. Yeah. All right. We're going to get into a little bit of more weird news here. Let me tell you this. Man calls cops when he can't afford prostitute.
Wait a minute. Hold on, you have to drop another. You have to do some kind of sound effect for that, right?
You know
that's
what?
Like me. Like, I don't even want to interfere on the story yet, but it's just like me. Like, say I try. I'm going to call the police because I can't afford your weed. I'm going to call the police.
Exactly.
Continue.
Yes. Always get the money up front, ladies. Check this out. A man allegedly called the cops when he couldn't afford the cost of the sex he had with a prostitute, according to the Topeka Capital Journal. Police, who did not release the names of either the man or the alleged sex worker, were called to the gentleman's mobile home early Wednesday morning. What is going on with Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. The man told police he couldn't afford the $400 session and called authorities because he feared for his safety. You think? Mm. The man was charged with patronizing a prostitute, and the woman was slapped with engaging in an act of prostitution, according to Opposing Views, which also adds this nugget of speculation. Regardless of how the case turns out, how mad is the woman at this guy right now, he called the cops on himself and got her busted while he was at it. It's hard to say which alleged John, okay, is accused of worse lapses in judgment. The Kansas man or this guy from Michigan who called cops after he said his prostitute of choice unexpectedly raised her price. Unexpectedly.
Wow.
Yes. In that case, however, only the alleged prostitute was taken into custody. Wow. She wrote, wow. Okay. I'm going to pay more. That, yeah, okay.
Like, no, come on. Like, you know it's a wow factor when all you can say is, come on, like, come on, for real? Like, really?
Yeah.
I want to say something, but I don't know what to say. You seriously just violated yourself.
Violated yourself on all accounts, spiritually and human nature, period. Period. Last but not least, serious documentary reveals DNA test results on an ATA, the six-inch alien. The mummified remains of what looks like a six-inch space alien has turned Sirius into the most eagerly awaited documentary among UFO enthusiasts. The findings, however, might come as a disappointment. In early publicity, filmmakers claimed the documentary would reveal that the DNA of the creature with an oversized alien-looking head couldn't be medically classed. In fact, the film, which premiered Monday in Hollywood, features a scientist who concluded the little humanoid was human. I can say the absolute certainty that it is not a monkey, it is human, closer to human than chimpanzees. It lived to the age of 6 to 8. Obviously, it was breathing, it was eating, it was metabolizing. It calls into question how big the thing might have been when it was born. The DNA tells the story, and we have the computational techniques that allows us to determine in very short order whether, in fact, this is human. They focus on the remains of the small humanoid nicknamed ATA that was discovered in Chile in a desert 10 years ago.
It's always in a desert.
Huh?
It's always somewhere in a desert, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's gone through different hands and ownership since then. It's a really weird-looking picture, bro. Yes. Looking at this, you know, and some of this stuff, You know, it's so much stuff with Photoshop nowadays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So much, and it's kind of hard to believe what's actually real out there and what's actually fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I do believe that there is some living, some form of living life, if I said it the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe we're the only ones, but it may be a different factors, you know, maybe plant life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there is life on other planets. I don't believe we're the only planet that has some sort of life. But however, the pictures, the way these aliens supposed to look, that I don't I don't believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people that can, so much technology that you can distort images, create images to fool the public, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That was the weird news for today. I really appreciate you guys listening. You know, before we get into the world news, guess what I'm going to play right now?
What?
Because of the stories, because of the man, the prostitute, because of the guy drove drove his car through the church and drove down the hall, this is what I have to say to him. Everything's going to be all right.
Mm.
Al Green. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Life.
There it is.
I love that song. I remember when Quest put me on it. I was like, this song goes too hard.
Yeah, everything gonna be right. It is. You know, people need to get this settled down. You know, just relax, folks. And breathe. You know what I mean?
I ran
into a situation yesterday at the library. We were holding auditions, and we went in the library. Someone else reserved the room for us. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what auspice did they reserve the room under.
Mm-hmm.
So the gentleman was like, "So what is it under?" I was like, "I'm not sure, but it should have Vincent Ellis down there, you know." And
mm-hmm.
they couldn't find it, and I was just like, it was like, okay, you have to have the community, the name of the organization. And I was like, okay. So they give me this kind of runaround or whatnot. Now, this
mm-hmm.
is Monday now. You reserve the rooms for free, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now check this out, though.
Uh-huh.
So, I call my partner, and I say, yo, you know, what did you reserve the name under? Mind you, we were supposed to be in there at 11:30. No, excuse me, 11 o'clock, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 11 o'clock. And at this time, it's like 11:30, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to get in there at 11 o'clock and set up. All right. So he was like, okay, he gave me the name. He gave me the name of the organization. Now, mind you, the office, the security guard told me, he was like, we can't let you in the room until you know the name of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind, okay?
Okay.
So, okay, cool. I got off the phone. I said, hey, our room is reserved from 11 to 4:30. Okay, so all you have to look and see that room that
yes.
has that time, and then you can say, okay, are you part of the such and such group? And then I can say yes. Okay, mind you, that was the easy way. So,
mm-hmm.
however, I'm talking to the gentleman. Like, okay, I gave him the name of the organization. Okay, so then he says, okay, it's in, you guys are in conference room C. Okay, this one security guard. Another security guard, whom I was not talking to, jumped into the conversation and was like, oh, you can't go in there yet.
Why?
Why not? Well, the head guy is not here. Of the organization. I'm like, okay, I'm a part of the organization. You guys told me I needed the name of the organization. Now I got to wait till the head guy get in here. Yeah, you can't get in there. No matter what, the head guy has to be there before you guys can get in. I was like, what? I mean, like, okay, this is a free room. How is it so confusing? And to get into a room that's free, that's already been reserved, and been confirmed.
Right.
Now, you can't get in there until the head guy, he said, are you the head guy? I was saying, no, but I'm a part of the organization. And I'm already moving behind because our audition started at 12. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting out here dealing with these guys for about 20 minutes. So it's almost 12 o'clock before we get into the room.
Mm.
So I had to wait till, so what I did, I went upstairs, I did split staff because the guy was being hardcore security at the library on a Saturday. Okay, I don't know what's going on a Saturday that you had to be so uptight about.
Yes.
So when I went upstairs, I confirmed it with them, and then they was just like, okay, you can go ahead. I mean, that easy.
Yeah.
That
disturbs me only because it's a free room. So I could just turn around and say, well, all right, well, I'm about to reserve this room. If a room is available and I can get it right now, I'll get it right now. Like, it's a free room. Was ID required?
No. Everything is already confirmed.
Like, what?
And,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and you jumped in the conversation. I wasn't even
right.
listening to you.
You know what I mean? I'm like, what's the
yes.
difference? If the head, I mean, like, it's a room. It's already reserved. And you can look at your schedule, conference room C from 11 to 4:30 under that group's name. I'm a part of that group. Why can't I get in there? It's a small room with chairs and desks. Am I going to take these chairs and desks out the door? Is that what they're worried about?
Mm.
Yeah. So that's what happened to us yesterday. I was a little peeved. And I noticed something about myself yesterday.
What's up?
That God is still not finished with
me. Truth.
He's true.
And that's what I've been learning about, you know, when things like that come up, when I hear that getting ready to come up, or I can feel it come up, that's a character flaw. And God's like, where's your patience? Where's your understanding? Where's your wisdom? Like, all that's out the window now because something ain't going your way. So we need to fix that. So I definitely feel you on that.
Yeah, so he's still working on me because I was mad. So then I got to the point where I was just like, okay, dude, I got you. Thank you. And I said thank you as I'm walking away. Mind you, once again, I'm already walking away. And I said thank you. He still had words to say. I'm just doing my job. Huh?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Why are you still talking to me right now? You can see my face, my disgust on my face. We are already 45 minutes behind schedule because I'm dealing with you behind some nonsense. It's not like it's a paid room, and I'm trying to swindle you into letting me get the paid room.
Yes.
It's a free room. I presented the information that you guys required of me because you jumped in and said, what's the organization name? You know what I mean? So I got your answer for you, and then you take it to another level. Well, where's the head guy? Huh?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, where did that come from? But however, I found out that God's still working on me. So, yeah.
That's good. That's really good. How did our auditions go?
Our auditions went well. We have three projects that we're working on putting out there, the film, the society, the two stage plays, To Death Do Us Part, and Finding Chris, My Father. Finding Chris, My Father is actually a true story. Big up to Vincent Ellis. It's his life story, and he, you know, put it in my hands to convert from a book into a stage play. You know, so, and what happened, the story is, you know how people say, well, what happened was,
mm-hmm.
Well, the story, his mom got pregnant and, by his father, it wasn't that his father walked out, but she found out she was pregnant after they, broke up. And they weren't married and nothing like that. They just separated.
Mm-hmm.
And she found out that she was pregnant, and she didn't want to call him back into her life. You know, she had a whole lot of pride, and she felt that she could take on this child herself. And so what happened in turn, someone else stepped into the picture. This gentleman was very abusive to her. In and out of jail, just all kind of, you know, bad things was happening to her. And then she didn't really start talking to him until he was the age of, like, 14. And she, you know, tried to say, okay, look, you know, this guy is not your real father. I've been trying to find your father over all these years. He didn't listen, and then at the age of 16, he was able to accept that fact. And, you know, they searched and looked for his father. And what happened, his grandmother was in the hospital. This went when he turned 27.
His grandmother was in a hospital. His mom was visiting his grandmother, and as she coming down the hall, she sees his father. She recognized him instantly. And, you know, she called out his name, and they sat down and figured out things, and he took a paternity test, and he was, you know, he didn't deny it at all. She, you know, explained to him that, you know, you are the father of my 27-year-old son. You know what I mean? And he said, okay, let's get tested. He's, you know, his father was frustrated, happy, and mad all at the same time.
Yeah.
So he ended up meeting his, you know, father at the age of 27, and there was a whole lot of other things going on in his life prior to that because, neglect, but he was being raised without a father, so he got into a lot of trouble. He did end up going to school, so he had a lot of turmoil and trouble as a kid, even in college. But now he's an author of two books. He's writing another. He's working on his third book, and he lives in Richmond, Virginia. Very good guy. And it's interesting because when I tell people about the play, I say it's a good story, but now I kind of backstep because it's like you wish it never happened to the person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what he in turn told me is like, you know, that God has a reason for everything. You know, because that happened, now we have a relationship.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
No.
So things happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, he's a real good people. So we're going to be doing that play here in the Hampton Roads area and up in the Richmond area.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Also, in these past few weeks, I produced a short film showcase TV program for the local cable company here. So, you know, I'm rolling right now. You know,
that's good stuff.
To God be the glory on that. And then I got another project that's in the works. Actually, there's another show, which is a comedy show, where I'm going to be interviewing local and national artists, and there are going to be skits involved and all kind of stuff. So, yeah, you know, you know, like I said, God is working.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. So everything is going pretty smooth. Although I'm tired at times, but, you know, this is what we do.
Yeah.
It's not a nine to five.
Yeah. Good. That's beautiful stuff, bro.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
And now I'm sitting here with my allergies, kicking my tail, you know, come down with a cold, and then you got Deacon yelling at me, telling me, mind my business. You know, I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean?
It's life, man.
Yeah. Deacon said he's going to come back later. I saw him in the hallway doing the middle of one of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's going to be coming back before the show is over. And he told me, watch out. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's going to try and take my spot here on the show. I don't know. But let's get into the weird news. Not weird news, the world news, before you come and kick me off for the show. I hope you don't kick me off.
I feel you. I hope so, too, because he is. I don't think he wants to share the mic like that. So, cool. Anyways, for starters, Michael Jackson wrongful death trial to open. So after all this time, we are now going to go to trial dealing with Michael Jackson's death. The Michael Jackson wrongful death trial, which promises dramatic revelations and legal fireworks, begins in a small Los Angeles courtroom with opening statements Monday. Jurors earning $15 a day will listen to several months of testimony before deciding whether one of the world's largest entertainment companies should pay Jackson's mother and three children billions of dollars for liability. I'm sorry. I must have said that too fast. Billions of dollars
wow.
for liability in the pop iconic's death. It's crazy. And, you know, further on, they're talking about, you know, testimonies from celebrities like Janet Jackson and, well, pretty much the Jackson family are to make an appearance in the courtroom. So it's, you know, it's pretty dramatic. It's crazy because recently I signed with management. I'll talk to y'all more about that when we're outside of that. And the manager told me that people don't understand that these artists who you think are, like, really blowing and really getting money, they're getting pimped. So, example, The Temptations. Did y'all know that The Temptations was making, like, $75,000 a year? Now, mind you, in the 60s and the 70s, The Temptations, they had big-time hits that are still getting played today. You know, My Girl, you got a song like Just My Imagination, mm-hmm. Ain't Proud to Beg. Mm-hmm. Like, they were killing, grossing millions of dollars in sales. Now, not to mention radio play, so the royalties is crazy. Album sales, like, all this stuff is crazy. But they only saw $75,000 a year. That's a 9-to-5. That's like a really good 9-to-5.
Wow.
So a lot of times these people are getting pimped. So you got Michael Jackson. What is Michael Jackson's situation dealing with his death? I'm very interested to see how the wrongful death, how you're playing with the doctor committing murder instead of it being an accident. I'm really interested so how this is going to play a role in the record label owing billions of dollars to Michael's estate. I'm very curious on how that's going to play out. I guess, you know, more will be released on that situation as time goes on. But, you know, what makes me want to share with you guys is that, you know, a lot of times we're looking at other people's success and what they have, but we don't know the whole story. Because I can tell you that there's so many people that wish they were in Michael's shoes. They wish they can't be Michael. They wish they had money like Michael. But y'all don't understand the legal part that Michael had to go through and the things he went through with the label. And then I know a lot of people have seen the Jackson 5 movie, so you see what he went through growing up. So a lot of times the shoes that you are already put in, I think you really should thank God for those shoes. Because there's some things that you should, like, I know I don't want to deal with. I was not equipped to deal with. That's why I don't have those shoes on.
Now, there's a lifelong debate in regards to Michael Jackson's upbringing.
Continue.
You know, they say if Joe Jackson didn't push them and beat them the way he did,
mm-hmm.
would Michael Jackson be who he is today?
And that is a really good debate. That is a really good debate.
Before, I know you got, I know you're going to have something heavy to say, but I can see both sides. I'm not condoning that type of punishment, but who knows what type of person Michael Jackson would have turned out to be.
Right.
You know. Go ahead, hit him, heavy hitter.
Basically my answer is the same towards yours, because there's no telling. I probably would say that because of how his dad was, it played a large role into it, mostly because our upbringing, it's who we are today. Example, like, I have trust issues, right? I have trust issues. That's just an example. My trust issues come from being battered as a child, the things that I've dealt with as a child. But also, because of what I dealt with as a child, it causes me to push and not rely on another man. Because I don't have a father figure or nobody in my life to push me or to give me any handouts, I learned the value of a dollar. I learned the value of hard work, and it caused me to push really, really hard and also to not put my trust in man. So that's something I learned from a childhood. And you take another young man who was my age and went through an opposite route, you know, who's very nowadays very gullible, but at the same time he can trust and he's easier at loving and all this stuff. you know, his upbringing was different. If he had a different upbringing, can also tell us the character. So Michael Jackson's dad being so hard, Joe being so hard on him, I'm not condoning this. Like you said, Lamont, I don't condone or commend how he was on Michael or any of the Jacksons. But his heart, the way how he was, he implemented in their mind that hard work is necessary. Because Michael took on that work ethic once he, as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some negative into it because he didn't have a childhood. And that came out in his adult life as, you know, Neverland and the quote-unquote scandals with children and all that stuff. Him just, I'm not even talking about the scandal, him wanting to chill with little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more so because he didn't have a childhood and he desired that life. So I don't know if he touched them or not for real, but I do know he chilled with little kids, and it's because of the desire was taken away from him as a child. I don't have a desire. It's a tiny bit of me, and it's barely there, that wants to have kids of my own. And that's one thing that wasn't stolen from me. Like me comparing me to Michael, my childhood wasn't taken from me. I was rushed. You know, I was rushed through my childhood because I had to grow up fast to take care of my people. But I still had Pop Warner football and basketball and sports, hanging out and, you know, street lights and et cetera, et cetera. So my childhood wasn't stolen from me. Therefore, that desire is not in me. So I do say that Michael's upbringing, how Joe raised them and everything, it played a large role on how all the Jacksons came up and everything, their talent and everything. Of course, God allowed things and God didn't allow things. He opened doors and everything. But as far as people, I seriously feel that I can go with Joe. Joe played a huge role in who Michael is.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Now, with people rushing children to go through childhood, that's a big no-no for me. I'm totally against that because a child is a child. Okay, a child needs to enjoy certain things in life.
Correct.
Bottom line, you know, whether it's playing with toys, you know, whatever it is that children do. And I have two children of myself, two children. Wow, two kids of my own, 8 and 5. So they're girly girls, you know. They're not trying to cook for me. You know, I'm not trying to push them to cook. Oh, you got to get in the kitchen and learn how to cook. You know what I mean? There are people who do that. You know, and some people don't mean any harm. They think I want to teach my kid to make sure they know how to survive for themselves. But at the same time, you have to let the kid be a kid.
Right.
So if you're making cookies, yes, the kid can come in and join you to help, you know, put the cookie dough on the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There shouldn't be an order for the kid to go in there. Okay, learn how to cook rice. Learn how to cook chicken. You know, go upstairs, get this for me. Now go outside and take care of your brother. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay.
True.
Okay. Or you got parents that leave their kids at home with the younger sibling or your siblings, you know, at an early age.
Right.
You know, I know people that do that. And I'm totally against that. You know, why should I leave my kid at home to take care of the younger sibling when I'm the parent? You know, now, mind you, it's a double-edged sword because some parents, you know, I would say single parents don't have a choice in that.
Correct.
You know what I mean? If it's a single, especially a mom, okay, I have to go out here to go to work. Or if it's a dad, they have to go out to go, you know, to put a roof over their head, clothes on their back, food on the table. I almost said their back. Clothes on the table, food on their back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some people have been put in situations where they have to do it. But my thing is, if you do not have to do that, don't make the kid go through that.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Agree.
Because the thing is, the way I look at it, some people want kids, want more than, you know, one or two kids, and want three or four, and they can't have any. They can't have the first one. You know what I mean? So they look at other parents and like, man, I admire you because, you know, y'all together, y'all have a kid. You know, but you got other people that abuse that beautiful thing of having kids. You know, they rush them through life, and then by the time they get to be a teenager, they don't even want to do the kid things anymore. They want to, you know, get into the next phase there. Body changing.
Yeah.
Friends more important than family. You know what I mean? So, and that's all everybody, you know, that's a not a black thing, white thing. It's an everybody thing. Once you hit that teenage years, you're like, oh, I want to be with my friends. You know what I mean? People say, oh, come on in. You know, come in the house. Your grandma's here, your aunt's here from out of town. You're like, man, I can see them later. I want to hang with Jill or Joe. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
By the time that kid gets to that teenage years, it's over. Not like in a bad way, but their childhood is gone.
True.
You know, and like you said, the childhood was gone for Michael Jackson, but he relived it. You know, he had the financial gains and donate money to children charities, building Neverland, you know, with all these amusement rides. He had a petting zoo, all this other stuff, because he didn't have a childhood. So he said,
right.
Okay, now I have the money. I'm going to make sure these kids have something. You know, so,
yeah.
And the thing on the many years on, as far as the debate on him, whether he touched a child or not.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is this. Those kids' parents sent them over there.
Correct.
Knowing, I'm not justifying, no one knows if Mike touched them or not. I believe he did not touch them. Because my thing is, if the average Joe is in your neighborhood and they're a pedophile, accused, alleged pedophile, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to let your child even go near that house.
Correct.
Not even walk in that direction. But yet these people sent these kids over there knowingly that the alleged thing for Michael Jackson was he likes little boys.
Mm-hmm.
Knowingly. So you said they put their kids in a bad position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's bad on those parents, period. Whether Mike did something or not. Like I said, if he did, I totally don't condone that at all. Totally against that.
Right.
But at the same time, you as a parent put your child in danger, period.
Mm.
You know, like I said, the guy down the street, he said, Mr. Johnson, a pedophile. Don't go close to his house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And spread rumors around the neighborhood about Mr. Johnson. So, yeah, that's my soapbox for today.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you on that factor, because it's hard to believe that an alleged pedophile continues to have access to children with ease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hidden access. It's access to where, example, the media is always paying attention to a celebrity, especially as iconic as Michael Jackson was. It was not hard to get a view of what's going on with Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And so with everybody having eyes on him, you telling me a kid was able to slip through every time and he did what he did, and then everybody found out?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this, we continue talking about that, we start talking about some other – conspiracies and stuff, but we ain't good at deep right now. But I totally agree with you also. I mean, it is definitely a double-edged sword, because when I look back at my life, I thank God for the learning. Even though I was forced to grow up so soon, I thank God because it taught me survival. But I don't want my kid to grow up that way if I have one. Lord, like I have a kid, I don't want him to have to learn how to cook so soon. I don't want him to have to watch his little brother, because his mom has to work several jobs just to keep a light on. You know what I mean? Or I don't want him to take care of his grandparents, change their diapers, see horrific things that a child's eyes aren't ready to see. So like I said, I thank God for the experience on my life, but I wouldn't want another kid to go through that at all. I don't think it's not looking at my situation. I mean, you play your cards how they dealt. But for another child, like you said, if you can help it, that's not something you really want to train your kid to do. You should never tell an 8-year-old boy that he has to be the man of the house. That's a lot of pressure, because now you have a little boy who only has a complex of a little boy who has understanding of a little boy. You're asking him to take on assignments of a grown man. And when he fails, you should not scold him, because he's trying to do something. That's like putting a first grader in high school and expecting him to get the honor roll.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot, and if he falls short of that, that should be the norm. Because this is not what he has, this is not what he's equipped for. That's what if you even look at the human body changes and it adjusts to what it's equipped for. As a baby, you know, you don't have pubic hair, and you don't have, you know, your skin is very, very soft. So you don't have a layer of dead skin all over you, and you don't have all this stuff, you know, to protect you from the sun. You don't have the stuff to protect you from lotions and chemicals and everything. So that's why with a baby, you don't put that on them. And a baby doesn't have free will to walk around. He's not equipped for that. But as a child grows older and he can walk and talk and breathe, he's equipped for life when it comes at him. He can handle the cold air. That's why all he needs is a jacket instead of to be wrapped up, swaddling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the same thing with the mind, too. The mind grows and adjusts to life. So, you know, this has got to be a powerful message for somebody out there that has a child, because it's a necessity on our kids. Because it's funny, when I was in the elementary school, they were just talking about how big Social Security was really big. You know, and it was just, you know, cool. It's cool for, you know, adults. I remember my grandfather getting Social Security. He's straight. He ain't got to work to retire. He good. He retired Navy general, all that stuff. He good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, Social Security, they're saying by my age, when we get up there, we may not have it. And it's all based on the generation. They're saying the younger generation, the kids coming up, are incompetent. They're saying that they don't have the wisdom or the understanding to sustain America. This is the kind of things that they're saying, and if we don't pay attention to that, we have to train our kids upright. Now, that's why there are things that, like you said, like, okay, kid, you're making cookies, you know, yeah, you can come help me. You know, you're training, you know, stuff like spending time with me, cool. But we have to allow them to be kids. That way, when they get older, they won't still be kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody's in charge of my Social Security and my retirement funds, and they're a child, they decide to build an amusement park and take some of the funds out of our Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine, we got people like in the government now that decides to build new tobacco things, new tobacco plants, poppy fields, all this stuff, putting money into things that can make money, but they take away the stuff from our Social Security and our retirement, and they invest it right into different frivolous accounts that do not help us in the long run, but keep the rich rich and let the poor continue to get poor. So, you know, it is definitely important that we do not take our kids for granted. We do not take our teenagers for granted and our young people, because at the same time that this age group here, this 18 to 25, it is a necessity that they have mentors. You know, it's crazy that I'm saying that, but it's very important, because if we keep, the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Well, my age group, we love to lean on our own understanding. We love to try to figure this thing out. When we try to figure out, we fall. That's why it's important to have people in your life that say, hey, I've been married, I am married, you don't need to rush into a relationship. Or, hey, this is how you need to spend your money, because what you're investing in, like on Baby Boy, guns and butter. You know, you want to get on things that appreciate with time instead of butter, chain, jewelry, cars, clothes, things that fade. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because you got cars, like example, like Jordans. I used to be a Jordan fanatic. And after a while, I noticed, like, dog, I just bought the twos last year. They came out again in the same color.
Wow.
And everybody's fighting to get these shoes. Now, mind you, I never bought the same color J's, or would I go buy the same number. If I got the twos, I got the threes, or whatever it was, I got them good. I ain't even going to buy the red and black 12s and then get the white and black 12s and then get the baby blue and black 12s. Are you serious? But nobody's taking time to talk to generation, be like, hey, bro, if you keep those J's up, bro, they're going to come out again next year, and yours are going to be brand new again.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep them up. But instead, what do? Man, these young dudes, they so stupid. But nobody's talking to them. I can't stand seeing somebody with their pants pulled down, see their drawers. Well, did you tell the young man to pull his pants up? Did you even talk to him like, hey, bro, did you know that? What it mean to have your pants pulled down? Because, but I'm always visiting jail, and they tell me that, you know, your pants pulled down and that, boy, somebody giving it to you. But is anybody telling them that? Because I seriously believe that they don't know. The Bible says my people perish because they lack knowledge. Well, if we don't share this knowledge, then we're just going to continue to perish. I don't know how we got all this far, but, hey.
You know, it's imperative that we talk to people if they in that state. The pants are lower than what they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, okay. I'm to play devil's advocate. Right? Well, not devil's advocate. I'm gonna go to that ledge right now.
Go ahead, take your time.
Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, if you can, all right, if you see
mm-hmm.
a gentleman with his pants hanging down, if you can, and I have to say if you can, because people may put themselves in a situation that may cause them harm, okay? If you got
mm-hmm.
a group of teenagers, they're already rowdy. At that point, you have to choose your battles.
Right.
Okay. Now, if it's like a one-on-one thing, and you say, hey, yeah, you know what I mean? Don't go out there trying to be a superhero, well, Mr. Pull Up Your Pants superhero.
True.
And put yourselves in harm's way. But if there's a chance that you see fit, the one-on-one, or you can tell the situation where that gentleman has his pants down or whatnot, you can go ahead and say, hey, okay, make good judgment.
Right.
Don't throw yourself under the bus. That's all I want to say. Don't throw yourself under the bus.
I want to throw that in there too, because I forget sometimes who we're talking to, and you got to throw disclaimers in there and little loopholes in the contract. But yeah, definitely, I agree with you 100% that you must know your audience. It's just like, well, as a performer, if I'm going to perform at a youth event, I'm not playing any of my classic songs or any of my super duper mellow songs for the adults. I'm doing something that's rowdy for them and also something they can grasp hold of, and vice versa. There's certain songs, live songs, that I won't do with a girl or an audience like that, with an adult audience. So I totally agree. When you see, say, back to the young man that's sat, and I see him, and I do peep to see him. One thing is very important that I noticed is that you don't want to call them out on an embarrassment tip. Like, hey, man, you need to pull your pants up, or hey, you don't want to do that, because this generation, well, a lot of us, we're very defensive people. Mankind, period, very defensive. We don't like to be cut or criticized in a positive way or in a negative way. We don't like that. So, I mean, you do have to pick and choose your battles, because sometimes just walking by somebody with your pants pulled up says a lot, too. So, I mean, you're 100% I agree with you. My whole issue, I guess, just to clean up what I was saying, is that I cannot stand when you talk about the problem, but you don't do anything, you don't come up with any solutions. Like, my whole theory is that if you're not a part of the solution, then what are you a part of? That's too close to being a part of the problem. It's too close. Like, what example, like what you just said, which is really good, you know, about, you know, not rushing into it, you know, really pick and choose your audience and everything like that. And that's really good, and that's needful, and somebody needs to hear that. But what about anybody else as far as if another situation goes on? Like, are you doing anything to help better the community? Anything? Like, are you the one, like, to just be talking about it? Or are you the one that's putting things into motion?
Mm.
Or are you the one that's doing both? But the issue is that we have more people that talks about it than who are doing something to fix it. Mm-hmm. That's what my problem is, because I don't expect everybody to tell everybody to pull their pants up, and I don't expect everybody to tell everybody to stop pimping Americans. I don't expect everybody to step up like that. But what I am saying is that everybody in the entire world can do something to better their community, even if that is changing ourselves. Like, it is a problem with people around me. I make sure that my character reflects God, and hopefully somebody will cling to that. Or I would still treat them right, and I would show them how love really looks. At least I would talk to them. My motto has never been, like, never talk about somebody behind their face. My mom always told me, like, a real man don't talk about another man behind their back.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I learned growing up. So with that being said, before I talk about you, and if I do decide to talk about you, I'm going to talk to you. We're going to settle this first, because it doesn't make any sense, because nothing is solved. It's nothing but a rumor. It's going to be out there, and Satan is going to get his glory,
mm-hmm.
which is not right. But I totally agree with what you're saying, though. Totally agree.
Yeah, and then, it really goes without saying in our churches, and it is an epidemic in a lot of churches where they would shun the kids about what they're doing, but you're not helping.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have in somebody's church, they might say, look, that kid always have an attitude. That kid always had his pants down. That kid, okay. That's one of those environments you can come in and step in and say, hey, you need to pull your pants up. You're in church. And then what happens is every time they see you, it clicks in their head. Oh man, I don't want to hear this person, so I won't go. Let me pull my pants up.
Exact truth. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And pretty much don't. And a lot of churches always shun the youth, and I don't want to get into a whole different subject because, okay, I'm gonna touch it. It goes without saying that, you know, they always blame it on hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Blame it on hip-hop.
Right. Go ahead.
What are you doing in your church to bring the kids in? You know, if they you feel that these kids are out in the streets, what is your church doing to bring the kids in? Is your church...
Even before you go deeper in that, everybody knows that I'm very defensive when it comes to the church, and the reason why is because we are the church, and people miss, like, people hear what you're saying, Lamont, but they take things and run with it in the wrong direction. So I want to catch these sheep before they run with it. It is a problem that we as a church, the church is the body, not just the institution, but the body is a problem that we're doing. But that's also, it's a worldly problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a worldly problem as well, because there are many organizations out here that are also not bringing any help or bringing anything into the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And on a realer scale, if we really look at the scale, we hold the church at a pedestal. We expect perfection from the church. Whether we want to say it or not, we expect perfection from the church. And when the church falls short of perfection, the church is a bad guy. So, but on a real scale, just to be real, the church does more for the community than a lot of these organizations. That's just being real. And when I say it, because When you're all out, when you're just down and out, you can always go. The church is always open. It's open for you to go in. You can always go and pray because there's so many churches everywhere. There's youth events. There's youth ministries. There's so many different things that's going on in the church. I'm talking to somebody in particular who feels they don't need church. But there's so much more with the church. And the problem is because we got the church on a high pedestal, we don't even realize that anytime they fall short of it, if I fall short of the standard that we have the church on, they're automatically below the standards of the world. And that's because of the high pedestal we have them on. So definitely, I kind of want to switch it towards instead of directly on the church. Because, yeah, there are some churches that are crooked. There's some churches that are not doing right. But that's all depending on the head and who the pastor is and whatever like that. I will speak for my church and, you know, stand boldly on. I feel like I have the best church in the city, if not the world, because my church, what the things that my church are doing and the accountability and the level of love I have never seen before. So, you know, it is, I don't want to say the church, but we want to say different organizations and institutions, because some churches aren't churches, they're really institutions, and some of them are only businesses and not the body of Christ. You got your different, you know, segments. I don't want anybody to run with this conversation thinking that we are promoting the church not being for us, because truthfully, the church is all we got when everything crashes and burns. And the church is the body of God, the body of Christ. And the church literally means the called out ones. So all of us who are in sin, Jesus has called us out. We are the called out ones. We are the church. So anytime, which is crucial, it's funny, my pastor said it today in church. He said, anytime, realize that anytime you diss the church opening, when you just say, man, these church people this, these church people that, anytime people do that, note to them saying, you know, you dissing yourself. If you are saved, every time you diss the church, you dissing yourself. That's like my finger saying, man, I can't stand Lace. He just be da-da-da-da. You got the kneecap and the foot saying, bro, you know you dissing all of us, including yourself, right? Because all of us make up Lace because we are a part of him. Just like being saved, we make up the church. So, you know, that's just, I really wanted to catch that before anybody ran in the wrong direction thinking that you were saying this when you weren't saying that, whatever, whatever. But you may continue.
Oh, no, you hit it. Because there are a ton, and I mean a ton, of organizations that, get money for the youth and don't use it the correct way.
Right.
You know, they pocket it. And who suffers? The kids.
Right.
I don't know how true it is, but I know most lottery systems, the money's supposed to go into the schools. And as a sub, I go to many different schools. And a lot of the schools are suffering from lack of books, supplies, things of that nature. So you're absolutely right. You know, we just have to be mindful and do our part, because you can't do everybody's part.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So, ladies and gentlemen, get off of your seats and make a change. You have to make a change, because the bottom line is this. Change can't happen unless change happens. Right?
Correct.
Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into the poetry spot. Here on the Covenant Cafe, this is your host, Lamar Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
This is the poetry spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it to me into the universe, taping down the tongue, and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind. Dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind.
Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now, it's a dime. Flow is free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine lines, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me.
This is the D Poetry Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Poetry Spot. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Lace, do you have anything to lace these people with today?
I did, but I don't anymore. And the reason why, because I want to save it for another time.
Okay.
I did, just because of our track of time right now, but I got something for y'all later.
There it is. Okay, here's today's short story, inspirational story, okay? Then this is not mine. It's not Lace's. I did not write this. This story comes from www.moralstories.org. The title of this inspirational poem here is called The Ship of Friendship. A voyaging ship was wrecked during a storm at sea, and only two of the men on it were able to swim to a small desert-like island. The two survivors, who had been good friends, not knowing what else to do, agreed that they had no other recourse but to pray to God. Mm-hmm. However, to find out whose prayer was more powerful, they agreed to divide the territory between them and stay on the opposite sides of the island. The first thing they prayed for was food. The next morning, the first man saw a fruit-bearing tree on his side of the island, and he was able to eat its fruit. The other man's parcel of land remained barren. After a week, the first man was lonely, and he decided to pray for a wife. The next day, another ship was wrecked, and the only survivor was a woman who swam to his side of the island. On the other side of the island, there was nothing. Soon the first man prayed for a house, clothes, more food. The next day, like magic, all of these were given to him. However, the second man still had nothing. Finally, the first man prayed for a ship, so that he and his wife could leave the island. In the morning, he found a ship docked at his side of the island. The first man boarded the ship with his wife and decided to leave the second man on the island. He considered the other man unworthy to receive God's blessing, since one of his prayers had been answered. As the ship was about to leave, the first man heard a voice from heaven above, booming, "Why are you leaving your companion on that island? My blessings are mine alone, since I was the one who prayed for them," the first man answered. His prayers were all unanswered, and so he does not deserve anything. "You are mistaken," the voice rebuked him. "He had only one prayer, which I answered. If not for that, you would not have received any of my blessings." "Tell me," the first man asked the voice, "what did he pray for that I should own him?" I just missed this line up here. "Tell me," the first man asked the voice, "what did he pray for that I should owe him anything?" Here's the answer to that. "He prayed that all your prayers be answered." The moral, for all we know, our blessings are not the fruits of our prayers.
Come on.
But those of another praying for us. Value your friends. Don't leave your loved ones behind. That story is dope.
Yes. Truth.
Truth. And here, this guy, he's feeling that he prayed for everything he got, what he deserved.
Mm.
He prayed for everything. He got it. He got the wife. He got the food. He got the clothes. He got the ship.
Mm.
And he looking all across. This guy didn't have anything. So he think he's doing better than him.
Mm.
In the end, someone else is praying for you.
Mm.
Someone else is praying for you.
Mm.
So when these things are, when you receive your blessings, whether it's your job, whether it's your talents,
mm.
whether it's just getting food for the day. I mean, some people live check to check. So to get food for the day is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else prayed for that.
Mm.
And it's not for you to know who's praying for me.
Correct.
Accept it. And that's the story. That's the moral story for today. And the title of that is called "The Ship of Friendship."
Mm.
Awesome. Let's get into. You have a song here.
Definitely. Before we get into that, I definitely want to share some quick information to you guys. I thank you all for your prayers. That is definitely needed to be said. I have recently signed with new management. I have a manager now, and their name is I'm with Team White Management. Brenda White, who is over it, she is currently my manager. So now for booking me, you would call 407-883-2478. Again, now for booking me, it's 407-883-2478, and I have to share with you guys what I have coming up. May 10th, I will be in Summerfield, Florida at the Revamp concert. I'll be performing at the Revamp concert at 7 p.m. That address is 6185 Southeast 140th Street, Summerfield, Florida, zip code 34419. On May 18th, I will be in Jacksonville, Florida, which will be at the Methodist Church, the Simpson Memorial United Methodist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, which is 114 Cleveland Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. June 7th, I will be at the All White Gospel Ball. It's going to be so live. It's at a nice arena. It's going to be so dope. It's also in Jacksonville. The address is 10131 Atlantic Boulevard, Jacksonville, Florida. On the 19th, I will be at the finale. I'm a finalist for the One Mic Show. And it's going to be at June 19th, 7538 Rampart Road in Jacksonville, Florida. And on July 13th, I will be in a play. Your boy is entering the acting thing besides music videos. So I'll be in a play July 13th. It's going to be so dope. And y'all might get a surprise performance. We'll see. And that's going to be at RCLM. It's a church, my church off of at the church. Off of Lim-Turton, which is 7541 Lim-Turton Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Those are the things that I have going on outside of management. Of course, things are being updated since I just signed with a manager. There's tours and stuff being planned, et cetera, et cetera. So you guys definitely continue to go to my website, www.poeticlace.com, poeticlace.com for the latest news. And of course, the Poetic Lace app is out, you guys, and you definitely can download it for free download. Go to my website to get the direct link to get it. It's available for all Android phones. So you definitely can keep up with everything. And like I said, I love you guys, and I'm so thankful for the prayers. I know somebody's praying for me and since I might not be on the phone with you guys on May 5th, well, I'll probably be on the phone with you guys. May 5th will be my 2-year anniversary. 2 years as an artist. God has done so much for me within 2 years of this game, and I just thank God for your prayers, your love, and your support. I definitely had to throw that out there because I rarely tell you guys what's going on with me unless you randomly check. So thank you. Free.
Yeah, that's good, man. God's working, man. God is definitely working. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is get into his song, Pledge of Allegiance. And then after his song, we have to pay our bills, get into our commercials, and then we're going to come back to Poetic Lace, and then we're going to close out the show. Poetic Lace, Pledge of Allegiance, here on the Covenant Cafe.
Will everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? We have Poetic Lace who will be performing it. Go ahead, Lace.
They say time is money, but money can't be on my mind. It's God first, man, that's motive just to rhyme. Saying that's not true is motive just a crime. And if you feel that's what it is, then you just wasting your time. My own shadow can't even block my shine. If you want my thing, step out of bounds, you want to pine. Straight starters, Amari and Knickerbockers. Amaze the world like we were the Globetrotters. My goal, save souls and do it told. Demon fault, then tie them up with gold. The cross on my chest is more than showing that I'm blessed. It's to show if I fail a test, I won't be stressed. Jesus Christ, my Savior, already paid a price. Since talk is cheap, watch my Savior, he can pay that twice. We ain't broke over here, God is holy rich. So if you wanna strike me out, try a faster pitch. I'm hitting curveballs, fastballs, and screws too. Hate on God, it ain't not for me to slide you. Kinda aggressive, I know, I'm just talking pro. But for the game, I pledge to God just to let him know. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bitch, now it's time for me to start. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bitch, now it's time for me to start. I'm about to beat the beater like he was a punching bag. Riding through the temple like I was pushing the jack. Verses, hooks, I get them from the Lord. I won't make a move unless God is the boy. I gotta do this right, you won't lose it one life. Married to the spirit, yes, that's my new wife. The voice in the center was kicking like a chain. Jackie said, you know Bruce Lee Frank. Don't have a cow, man, I'm feeling like my name's Bot. Just take your right hand and place it on your beating heart. It's so simple, dick, get like a dimple. You can keep it moving, break like a pimper. My missile's blasting something like a pistol. Bullet thoughts explode just like a mister. Christ in my head, I can't forget the fact he bled. So instead, I'm on my knees and the Lord's pledge. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bitch, now it's time for me to start. I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God. This a full-time job, my only job. I'm grinding, I'm working, I do this from the heart. I used to ride a bitch, now it's time for me to start. Yes, sir. You may now be seated. This is what happens when silence falls. Be late.
Man.
Glory to God. Thank you.
That's some good stuff there, bro.
Good stuff.
Okay, let's get into these commercials. And, you know, of course, you got to pay our bills. So we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. Man, this time is going so fast, man.
It does, every time.
And you know, once we get rolling, man, it's just it's a blessing to be able to touch people's lives, you know.
Yes, yes.
We don't even know what we know what we're doing, but we don't know what we're doing as far as who's being touched.
Yeah.
Who's being moved? Who's listening for the first time? Who has received that seed? You know, to do something, you know, besides their everyday struggles with the things that they deal with. Ladies and gentlemen, we all deal with things. We're not up here saying we're holier than thou.
True.
There are people there, out there, that believes that, but I don't, okay? Like I said earlier in the show, I realize that God is still working on me, on my patience. So,
come on.
You know, we get in these situations where we think we can handle it. We think we're better, but we're not. You know, fortunately, my flaw is not drugs.
Mm.
Fortunately, my flaw is not alcohol. Okay? My flaw is my patience.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't have enough patience to deal with people that come across me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting better because if he wasn't working on me, there would have been things I'd have said to that guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just for being, I don't want to say, I can't say ignorant, but I don't know. I mean, his job is to defend the library, so to speak. I shouldn't say defend. But at the same time, trying to reserve a free room, trying to get into a reserved free room that was already reserved 3-4 days, a week, and we received confirmation that there was a room, but he kept pressing the issue that other people needed to be there, not just the members of the organization. You know what I mean? So
there
were certain things that was running through my mind because God is still working on me. And it come out. I didn't regurgitate it out.
Hmm.
God is still working on me. So I was able to say, thank you, I got it. And be able to walk away because, like I said before, I wouldn't have been able to walk away. I would have actually been kicked out of the library.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So...
Mm-hmm.
God is still working on me. There are other, you know, other situations in my life. Me dealing with patience, and dealing with people that have a negative impact. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I realized yesterday, and definitely got to get on my grind and continue to pray for patience. Because in this field that I'm in, it's not going to stop.
True.
You know what I mean? There's going to be more people that get in the way of where you're trying to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So best thing to do is, like I said, continue on just praying and for patience for me to be able to deal with these people, because everybody I come against, they're not going to always be nice.
Right.
Yeah, so that's my piece. You want to go ahead and get into a word before we close out the word?
Yeah, definitely. You know, also, you know, piggyback on what you said, too, a lot of times people not really knowing that, you know, God will show you, you know, God often shows us our flaws. And then we're like, God, I pray, I'm asking God, do you give me more understanding, give me more patience, you know, help me to deal with these things. Instead of God just pouring inside of you this mystical patience and this mystical forgiveness and this mystical, you know, stuff, what God does is present you with another opportunity to get it right. And that's really how our patience grows. It's just like lifting weights. You know, God, I need to lift. I want to get stronger. You know, I want to get to the higher level. So in order to get there, you want to have to get back onto that bench and work at it. So, you know, my example, I asked God to enlarge my faith. God, I need more faith. And what he did, he allowed me to be homeless. This is all before I became Poetic Clay. So I was homeless, and I literally learned how to trust God. I went so many days, and I ate. I've always had a shelter, whether somebody gave me a place to stay, my car. Like, I never was under in the rain without something covering me, you know what I'm saying? And having no money and under the stuff, yet I still ate every day, whether somebody would just bless me or I would find $20 here and there, whatever it may be, God increased my faith by giving me an opportunity to have faith in him. Because, mind you, I was in Miami. I got family in Jacksonville and stuff like that, and I was going to school. I could have quit. I could have said, you know what, forget this. I'll go back home and do what I know. But I trusted God, and that led to Poetic Lace. And just like you said, in this field, we have to have so much patience.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have so much belief in the vision. We have to have faith in the vision that God has given us in our craft. Then we have to put work behind it. And mm-hmm. that didn't happen, and I wouldn't have been ready for this without the trial of getting my faith up. A lot of times we see the negative, like, oh, man, this and that happens, but let's see the positive in it. If this did not happen, I would not have grown to trust God more. I wouldn't have learned what I can endure. I wouldn't have learned what are my triggers, what makes me want to quit, what makes me want to snap, what makes me take my hands off, what makes me pursue and devote myself more. So there's so much positive in those things, excuse me, that we call negative. So, you know, I want to definitely share for those who are out there, like, whenever an opportunity is presented and you learn about who you are and you pray, God, I need you to help me increase on whatever it is, then be ready for the next test and be ready to pass it this time. Because just like every time I lifted, you know, 225, every time I finally I got it, I can get it more the next time. So I got stronger because I tried to lift in the first place. Every time. And then even when it happened to me, like I tried, example, once 225, I'm like, I tried to lift it. I couldn't get it up. Okay, dang, I need more work at it. So then I worked on other stuff that built me up to 225. I benched lower weight. Then when I got to 225, I lifted and I got it. Well, I need to lift it more than once. So then you got to keep prepping, keep training. So I just said it to say, when you pray for God to give you something, be ready for him to test it.
Mm.
And it's going to follow with a trial. And not all trials are bad, and not all. And remember, I told y'all this before. The devil doesn't always come with a pitchfork, horns, and a tail.
Mm.
He's really subtle. He's really sweet. He has a lot of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
He's wise. So it can be something from God can use your wife. Satan can use your wife. He can use your kids. He can use your coworkers. He can use a stranger on the streets. He can use those dearest to you and those that you. We're not supposed to hate, but those that you hate. He can use any of that. And you just be ready to pass the trial. You ask God, and God, he's going to hit your trigger, too. And he go for the juggernaut. So when I asked for faith, he didn't just, you know, say, oh, you got a bill that you and you got the money for it. Yeah, okay, well, the money will come soon. No, he took me to the streets. He hit me with the kingpin. So be ready. Be ready for the trial. But know that because God has allowed it, he is faithful to give you the sufficient amount of resource, whatever it takes, for you to overcome that trial and to increase in what it is that you pray for.
Mhm. Yeah. On that note, we are all a lot of people get into the praying for only the good things,
mm-hmm.
and not being thankful what they have, and expecting it to happen overnight.
Mhm.
We have to be thankful for our trials as well. The trials are the things that make us stronger, because you can't run a race without practice.
Mm.
You can't go on the football field without practice.
Correct.
You can't do your homework assignments without practice. I mean, the test, I'm sorry. You know, you can't take your test without practice. Your homework mm-hmm. is your practice. Your daily classwork is your practice.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go into a test without practicing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask any Olympian, any average person, it doesn't have to be a superstar. It could be a writer. It can be an actor. It can be a singer. None of these things can go without practice. If you're a singer, you're always singing at home. You don't go into the concert without just you. Lace. I know you don't just go into concert without going on with your words. You know what I mean?
True.
I got this. You practice. When I do my stand up, I practice on my lines. When I'm on stage, I practice. When you are praying, it's a part of your practice. It, you know, the part of your practice is helping you prepare yourself for the trials that's coming. You can't face any trials without prayer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, what happened, it was an idiotic situation. But what I had to do after that is pray. For me to get better.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
I don't even mean to cut you off, but I got to give the scripture.
Lord, you got 1 minute.
The scripture that I want you guys to keep in mind for this week, it comes from Ecclesiastes 7, 21 through 22, which says, also, do not take to heart everything people say. Do not take to heart everything people say. Lest you hear your servant cursing you for many times. Also you, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others.
Hmm.
So do not take everything you hear to heart. Some things you just have to let roll off of your shoulders. I mean, I can't get into depth like I want to with this scripture, but do not take everything to heart. Sometimes you just got to let things go. And also remember that you might have said some foul stuff to people before, or the way you said things to people was perceived wrong. Or maybe somebody might say something to you that you perceive wrong. So don't quit to take everything to heart.
Hmm. There it is. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
We'll see you next week. Wow. Okay. Hello?
We got more time?
No, it's going off.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Yeah.